I mean, this is the last stand.
You're listening to The Unfiltered.
Well, I hate to say I told you so.
There's nothing to be done besides to get on Twitter and tweet to all my dumbass followers.
But I told you so.
Hey, I told you so.
The controversial.
He's a dumbass.
He can't do math.
He's an idiot.
He gets his haircut at Walmart. Look at that shitty haircut.
The realest podcast in the Southeast.
Let the dogs loose. Let the goons be goons. 11 in a row. 11 in a row. 11 in a row.
Enough.
38 in a row. As in 38 unanswered points when we were whipping that ass.
Ranch gang, stand up. The holy war is upon us. Welcome to Reed's Ranch, the podcast with Seth Hughes.
Like, just quit acting like this is any fun at all.
Another edition of Reed's Ranch, Thursday, April 15th. It's approximately 5:11 p.m. Seth Hughes joins me down in Alabama. What's up, Seth?
Not much, John. Happy to be here. Good to hear your voice.
Good to hear your voice. You know, we've been on a baseball kick, but I will say Rick Barnes and the boys giving us something to be excited about today.
I guess after all, they had it under control. You know, the proof is in the pudding. So, you know, it's nice that we signed another 5-star. It's nice that we've got another top 5 class or whatever, but, you know, the proof will be in the pudding, but I think everyone is pleased with how it has gone this offseason.
Yeah, it's definitely learning from the, you know, mistakes of, what, 2019? Or 2020, I guess it was? Where you just have a completely shit roster. And you would have missed the tournament had COVID not canceled the tournament. You would have missed it, almost assuredly. And you just, got a pass for that. But I think Rick Barnes obviously knows those days are gone now. Like, he can't just say, well, we need to recruit better. We lost 2 first-round picks.
Yeah.
He went out there and got it done, and this roster feels a lot better than last year's.
Yeah, it's been totally reworked.
And it makes sense. The pieces seem to fit.
Yeah. I mean, I think that, you know, I mean, like, I do or whatever, the I do guy, I mean, like.
Is that how you say his name? That's how I've been saying it.
I don't know. Is it James or Jonas?
Jonas is what I see. Jonas Adu. I didn't know if it was Adu. Adu. I didn't know.
No, I mean, we're talking about a guy that is. He's the number 60 overall player on the 24/7 composite.
Sure. He feels like house money, really.
Exactly. Like, he's the 4th best player in this class, I feel like.
And that's not even counting Justin Powell.
Okay, well, I was counting. Oh,
okay.
Powell.
Okay, fair enough.
You know, I would go Chandler Powell, Huntley Hatfield, Mayshak, and then your 4th best player in the class is a consensus top 100 center. Top 100 player that's a center. So, it's a really good class. A really, really good class.
Wait, did you even count Kenny Chandler in that?
Yeah, I had Chandler first.
Chandler Powell, Huntley
Hatfield. Oh, no, so I do his fifth. Yeah, I do his fifth. Yeah, so I mean, and he's... on Rivals, he's the number 33 overall player in the nation. So, you know, it's a top 40 player on Rivals, and he's the 5th best player you sign in the class.
I understand the reservations. If you said, well, we had a good recruiting class last year, we didn't make any noise in the tournament, we were the 4 seed in the SEC, blah, blah, blah. I get that for sure. Like, you're talking to the people that don't, you know, necessarily have the most confidence in Rick Barnes, but I will say... Got to give credit where it's due. We recruited a couple of big men who can actually do basketball things. Both these guys seem pretty skilled offensively. At least, you know, I watched a little bit of Adu's like high school film just to see if he could do anything. And, you know, he's out there shooting jumpers.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's not something that any of our big men could do last year. It's not really something any of our big men have done since Rick Barnes got here. Unless you're considering Grant Williams a big man, which, you know, I guess you would since he's a post player. But... He wasn't a center by any means or a true...
He's not 7 feet tall.
Or a true size power forward. I mean, he was undersized. I mean, I know he had good wingspan and all that, but he was undersized. But...
Yeah, like... go ahead.
I was just going to say, we got guys that can do basketball things now. Like, our big men, pretty much through the entire Rick Barnes tenure, has just been if you can catch the ball and dunk, that's good enough for us. If you can grab some rebounds, that's good enough for us. And now we got some skill, and this team lacked shooting. And I will say that Justin Powell is going to be Tennessee's best shooter they've had since Chris Lofton. I mean, right now, I know it's only been 10 games for him, but 45% from three, we obviously haven't had anybody that's done that. Bowden, I think, had a year around 38%, maybe got to 40. So maybe, you know, at least as good as junior year Jordan Bowden, maybe. Unless it was sophomore year, either way. We need a point guard, and we got that as well. So there's going to be some versatility in this lineup. You got big guys. And I don't just mean like centers. I mean like, you know, 6'10", 6'11". Then you throw in, you know, Powell, who's 6'6". We're not even counting this French guy. I don't think he'll play much at all this year, but I don't know. I haven't seen him. You know what I mean? Like, he might be somebody that can play. I don't know. Got a versatile lineup now that should allow Rick Barnes to have plenty of options, which we know that we have the utmost confidence in him to figure out the right rotations.
Yeah. I wanted them to get a big man, but I didn't want it to be – I wanted it to be like a guy that can move. Like, I just didn't want us to get – it was almost like I really wanted Walker Kessler, but it was almost kind of – I was kind of relieved that we didn't because, like, Barnes wasn't going to try to force the offense through him. Like, the offense had – you know, because – I mean, I don't know. Like, Barnes just worried me with what he said after the Oregon State game.
Oh, yeah. And that was bad. And, you know, Walker Kessler, 5-star. I get it. But, like you said, I didn't want, like, just kind of I don't even want to call him a big stiff because I haven't watched him enough to say that. But I wouldn't trust him to be out there getting switched and guarding guards.
Exactly.
Whereas now these guys here all seem pretty athletic and should be able to keep up.
Yeah, like, you know, I saw a little clip of Adu, like, running the floor on a fast break. He can shoot jump shots. Like, he can move a little bit, you know, like, and so I like having a big man like that.
Well, I mean, that's the way you have to have it.
Yeah.
Unless you have Jokic or Embiid.
So it seems like the pieces that we have actually make sense from a 21st century point of view. You know, I have no idea how good Huntley Hatfield is.
He was number four on ESPN for, 2022. He was the number four player in the country. ESPN covered it, and ESPN wrote a pretty glowing article about him today, too. I mean, just basically.
They moved him to number 19 in this current class, right?
Yep, kept his 5-star, but moved him to number 19.
I know he was like number 6 overall in 24/7. Matt Jones's website, Kentucky Sports Radio, they made it seem like Kentucky did not drop him. They made it seem like Kentucky stopped recruiting Brandon Huntley Hatfield because he did not want to be recruited by Kentucky anymore.
Yeah, I mean, if you are the, you know, number 10 player in the country, top 10 player in the country.
But that had been, you know, there had been some stuff, you know, about, well, how come Kentucky just up and stopped recruiting him? Some people were saying Kentucky did stop recruiting him.
Well, it sounds like they did, but it sounds like one of those situations, if someone tells you no enough, you just have to kind of move on.
Yeah, and they did start recruiting him, just not in the way that it was kind of that I saw it made out to be. It's they started recruiting him because he didn't want to go to Kentucky. So, you know, Kansas had offered. I mean, he was the number 6 overall player in the nation. Like, so he seems like talent wise, it's indisputable. So, yeah, I mean, it's just another really, really talented player. I mean. You know, so Tennessee, on Rivals, Tennessee signed 4 top 50 guys, which is pretty stout, so.
Huntley Hatfield said he wanted to come here because of Kevin Durant.
Okay.
He said he wanted to play for Rick Barnes because Rick Barnes coached one of the greatest players to ever walk planet Earth, Kevin Durant.
Well, there you go.
Which gives me hope that, like, you know, I would imagine Barnes kind of sold him on making him look like Kevin Durant, which mm-hmm. makes me think that he's not going to, like, just stick him in the post, which means he's going to, like, let him kind of get on the perimeter and face up. And
yeah, I would hope so.
Maybe a little DJ Augustine, Kevin Durant action between Chandler and so. Huntley Hatfield.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like they're done. VolQuest is saying that if the Dante guy from Oregon enters the transfer portal, they will go after him. If he enters the transfer portal, I would imagine we would get him because of the assistant coach that we hired from Sunrise Christian Academy.
Who is this Dante guy from Oregon? Who is he?
He's Nafali Dante. He was a five-star last year, and he tore his ACL this past year.
What's he play?
Center. He's 6'11", 230.
Okay.
And Volquest was kind of saying he hasn't entered the portal yet because he is rehabbing and using Oregon's medical staff, and he doesn't want to, like, say, hey, by the way, I'm transferring, and then show up for, you know, PT the next day or whatever. And
You'd be worried that they wouldn't take as good of care of you.
Yeah, so, you know, it's been rumored for forever with him that he was going to transfer. He hasn't entered the portal yet, but Rob Lewis said that we will go after him if he does. He was the number 14 overall player in the nation on the 24/7 composite last year. He was the number 15 overall player in the nation according to their own in-house rankings, and it came down to Oregon and Kentucky. And LSU, looks like, and he chose Oregon. So no telling what Oregon paid him to get him over LSU. So we will also be going after him if he actually does end up entering the portal.
Ooh, okay. Barnes said he is fed up with not having a big man. He watched the game of Uroš Plavić for long enough and said, okay, I got to him and Cum White cutting it. Got to get somebody that can play basketball.
I think we still have two spots left open, right?
Yeah, and does Fulkerson even count as a scholarship if he comes back?
I don't know. I was wondering about that. I thought that in football they didn't.
Right. I didn't think it did in basketball either, but I guess theoretically Tennessee could if they didn't fill the spot, you know, to keep from having to, quote-unquote, pay out of pocket.
Yeah.
Because I think that's what was going to happen in the other sports, right? It was like basically the schools were going to have to foot the cost.
Is that what was going to happen?
Yeah, because I remember Barry Alvarez basically told all the kids at Wisconsin, like, hey, you're not coming back. Like, we're not really bringing anybody back because we can't afford it. Like, he was one of the more vocal ones that was just kind of like, sorry, other sports, like, we can't honor these scholarships.
But, you know, I think that since the season has ended, I don't think that anybody really could have asked for more out of Rick Barnes than what he has given. I did not expect this. It's certainly more than, you know, I anticipated him doing and how he would answer that shitty team that we had last year. And like you said, you have to give credit where it is due. And he has totally retooled the team from top to bottom. You look at who we return, and like, you don't see playing time for a lot of them. You see a lot of playing time for Josiah James. And after that, you know...
Well, we talked about that. That's the only guy on the roster that we really, truly cared about that was staying.
So you have to tip your hat to Barnes because he has really answered the bell nicely since the Oregon State game. And he had to because Alabama and Arkansas have been busy the last two or three weeks. Alabama got the guy from Texas Tech. They got Noah Gurley from Furman. Arkansas's got three or four transfers. Honestly, the only transfer I would take over Justin Powell probably is the guy from Davidson, though. You know, mm-hmm. Like, I still think Justin Powell's better than the transfers that Alabama got. I think he's better than transfers Arkansas got for what we need, especially. I mean, Powell was, you know, a top 50 guy on ESPN's draft board in January, and then he had the mystery concussion, and Auburn just stopped paying attention to him. So he decided to transfer. But, I mean, Alabama and Arkansas have been busy. LSU got Xavier Pinson from Missouri. So Barnes really did need to be busy because, you know, he didn't really have much to begin with except for Josiah James.
Yeah, no, this team was going – I mean, there was, you know, the talk around the – after the tournament was basically like, this team's going to be in trouble next year. And now I think they're coming in. Like, I don't know where they'll be ranked preseason because whatever, don't really care. But this team will come in, and I'm going to expect them to be a top tennis team in the country? Is that going to be unfair to say?
I would guess, my guess is when the preseason rankings like are solidified in like October or whatever, the Tennessee will be around 15th.
Mm-hmm. That's fair.
That would be my guess. You know, that it, like...
Throughout his career, Barnes has been really good in the preseason too, and like, you know, in November and December, so... I would say around Christmas time, Tennessee will be sitting around 12 or higher. That's my projection right now.
Yeah, I don't talent-wise, it is definitely a top 10. And I would argue that with anybody that is a top 10 like roster.
credit to Barnes.
Still, talent-wise.
Still going to have to coach the boys up, and, you know, that's going to be a different story when we get, you know, basically what, 6 months away from, you know, 6 months from now. We'll see how the team actually plays. I think last year's team might have been hurt a little bit by COVID. You know, not only did John Fulkerson get it and never was the same, but also, like, you know, it took a little while for the team to, you know, for the freshmen, I guess, to hit the ground running. Remember, you
also, Pons wasn't the same.
Right. And, you know, both those guys, both the freshmen had to come off the bench. You know, Walker never got off the bench. So maybe like an actual regular season or a regular offseason, I guess I should say, should help these freshmen be ready. I mean, like, Kenny Chandler's going to be starting from day one, right?
Yeah. Kenny Chandler and Justin Powell will be starting from day one.
We don't think Huntley Hatfield will be?
I don't know enough about him. Like, I actually know about Justin Powell because he started blowing up, you know, and I live in Alabama, and I was just like, who the hell is this dude that's, you know, shooting threes like crazy and scoring 25 points a game for Auburn when Sharif Cooper's out. So, like, I actually knew a little bit about him. I don't know much about Brandon Huntley Hatfield.
I'm just knowing, like, the ESPN article made him sound awesome. Like, they made him sound like he's a can't-miss guy.
Yeah. Then I would think he would start immediately, too. I mean, I don't know.
Correct me if I'm wrong. So this is just kind of – I haven't actually looked into this myself. It's just what producer Hayden told me. Huntley Hatfield basically is the age of a high school senior.
Okay.
He got held back a year. Is that what someone said?
I do not know.
Because usually, like, when you do the prep school, sometimes that's an extra year of high school type of thing.
It was traditionally, but like it's not necessarily anymore. Like some of these prep schools, like the prep school Montverde, where the French guy goes that we signed, whose name I'm not even going to pronounce. He played on their prep. Montverde has a high school team. And they have a prep team. So some of these prep schools aren't like it used to be. Like, Tennessee used to always send their football players to Hargrave Military Academy for 1 year. If they couldn't get in. If they didn't need JUCO, but they still couldn't get in. They would send them to Hargrave Military Academy for a year. And, like, that was an extra year of high school, basically. I don't know that Huntley Hatfield's like that, other than to say prep schools necessarily now aren't always like that. Like Kennedy Chandler, he played at a prep school, but he's not like that.
I just saw someone, like I said, Hayden, producer Hayden from Talk Sports told me he had been held back a year. And I looked at his age, he's 17, so I mean, you know, 50-50 chance that he'll be 18, I guess, by the time the season rolls around. I don't know when his birthday is.
Yeah, if that's the case, then like, if he really is a senior in high school, then yeah, I would think he would start absolutely day one.
What do we think about this statement when I feel like we maybe, I mean, we have 3 first-round picks on next year's team?
Yeah, it's possible.
Between him, Chandler, and Powell? Because, I mean, Powell worked his way into the first round of some mock drafts before he went down.
Yeah, it's possible.
3 first-round picks? I mean, maybe even as early as next year. I mean, like, you know, they could all be one and done here at Tennessee. It's possible. Obviously, Tennessee has never had that happen. Josiah getting mocked, yeah, in the middle of the second round, as Skylar says on the Discord. Yeah, so, like, you could have 4 NBA players, like, in the immediate, like, not growing into NBA players, but, I mean, just, it's possible to think that all 4 of those guys could be in the draft next year, which is obviously crazy for Tennessee.
Yeah, and there's enough talent around now that I feel like Josiah can really, like, shine and do his thing, which is, you never want him to be the guy. You just want him to, you know, he'll just kind of get the sneaky double-double and have 5 assists kind of games. I feel like there's enough talent around him now that, like, he can do that where, you know, where, I mean, he had, like, a double-double at Kentucky this past year with, like, everyone's talking about Keon and Jaden, but, like, Josiah had a really good game. Like, that kind of thing with him, it feels like he can really shine now, too, with the talent that is around him. I don't even know what our starting 5 would be. I guess it depends if Fulkerson comes back or not, which it seems like he is.
Fulkerson better be careful if he comes back, because that's might be coming off the bench.
How the hell would we still not know if he's coming back or not? Like, how has he not decided? It's almost halfway through April.
Seems as if Barnes is recruiting as if he is not coming back. Which, I mean, I don't know if that matters at all, but I mean, like, if he's taken these 2 big men, you're talking about the big man from Oregon. I don't want to say, like, Fulk is getting recruited over, but if I'm him, I'm not coming back unless I feel like I can be the player I was 2 years ago. I'm not coming back to go through another hell season where I'm not playing very well and people are like bench Folky. If I'm him, I'm like, I'd rather do something else.
And I don't think anybody wants, like, you know, I mean, people love John Fulkerson.
Right. No one wants him to come here and be bad. Nobody, like,
yeah, we only want to see the all-SEC John Fulkerson.
At this point.
Yeah. But, you know, I don't know. I mean, I have no idea. Like, it seems weird to, I guess you could start Huntley, Hatfield, and Fulkerson together. I don't know. Just seems kind of weird. I really only like having one big man out there at a time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But, yeah, I mean, props to Rick Barnes, you know.
I appreciate it. We need a little boost because God knows we're not excited about the football team. They did land two commitments, though. Your thoughts? Good enough.
The kid from Murfreesboro is fine. I mean, he's fine. He's friends with the wide receiver, I think, that is down to Tennessee and Florida from Murfreesboro. He's from Murfreesboro, right?
And I believe he has a brother next year that's the number one player
in
the state.
His brother is an elite recruit.
Yeah.
His brother is an elite recruit.
Number one in the state, right?
Probably. I saw that. I saw he's like he's like the number 55 overall player in the nation for his class in 24/7. Like, I had no idea he had a brother until last night when my dad told me we got a commitment. And so I went to see he told me who it was. I looked the guy up. And then I saw he had I think his brother's name, Caleb Herring. Maybe that's, I don't know. The kid's name that committed is Elijah Herring, I think. I mean, he's fine, whatever. Like, I think he's all friends with the wide receiver in Murfreesboro. It's down Tennessee and Florida, but I might be wrong about that. I mean, yeah, whatever. Who cares?
Okay. Well, hype in the hype house.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like, who's the number one quarterback right now? Is it Hooker?
I think people were excited about Hooker after Saturday. I don't know. We'll
see. I do not believe that. I'm going on the record now that, what's his first name? Hendon?
I believe so.
Hendon Hooker will not start game one for UT. Okay, I'm going on the record now. That will not happen.
Looking at a power mower.
This is a smoke screen. They are not starting this dude. Who's our first game against? Pittsburgh?
I think it's our second game, ain't it?
Okay. Yeah, probably. I don't know.
Don't we get Bowling Green first?
Okay.
Did I make that up?
That sounds right. We'll go with that. Dino Babers isn't walking through that door. I'm looking it up right now. Dino Babers isn't walking through that door for Bowling Green, and Hendon Hooker ain't walking onto the first 11 for UT.
It's a good thing we're not playing that Bowling Green team that we played in 2015.
Correct.
That team probably would have whipped our ass. We couldn't cover. Was it Dieter?
Something like that. He ended up going to Alabama.
And not like, doing anything. But he was busting our ass, him and that other guy they had.
Yeah. So, yeah, I guess apparently, according to UT Sports, the spring game is the 24th of April.
That is correct. So,
get excited for that. And then Saturday, September 4th, we play Bowling Green.
All right. Let the countdown begin.
Hendon Hooker ain't starting for UT. I've not read a single practice report. I don't care what anybody says about Brian Maurer, Caden Salter, Harrison Bailey. Do we have any other quarterbacks that are on scholarship?
I'm sure we got some other ones. But no, not on scholarship.
Hendon Hooker ain't starting.
Okay. You heard it here first.
That's my football talk.
Lock it in.
Have we kicked Aaron Beasley off the team?
Not that I know of.
Okay. Interesting.
Let's get to some patron questions. Patreon.com/ReedsRanch. If you want access to the Discord. Seth, I took home second place in the weekly Reed's Ranch poker tournament. I kind of blew a lead. It's okay. I was in first. It was a great heads-up matchup between Nicholas and myself. And he beat me, so I got second. But we play poker every Monday digitally. So if you want to hop in there and get access to the Discord, patreon.com/ReedsRanch. One new patron, new $10 patron, Robert Jordan.
Shout out to brother Robert Jordan. We love you and appreciate you very much. And thank you for joining.
All right. Hit us with some questions, Seth.
Brother Tekval 1 asks, would you rather your significant other always be 30 minutes late or 30 minutes early?
So in this scenario, let's just assume that we do not know this about our other. And we still feel the same emotions every time. There's still the same frustration of 30 minutes late every time. Or even the frustration of being 30 minutes early. Your answer is what?
30 minutes early.
Man, but imagine like your friends having a party at their house, and you have to get there 30 minutes early when nobody else is there.
Yeah. Or it's like a surprise party, and like she shows up 30 minutes early and like ruins the surprise or something.
Yeah. Well, that would suck too. Yeah. I guess, yeah. Especially, yeah, because you wouldn't be able to.
But still, it's still, I would still rather be 30 minutes early.
I mean, women are always 30 minutes late. Am I right? They got to get their hair done.
You're right.
Take a shower. Look pretty. I mean, again, going to every social scenario, like situation, you're the first people there around the host or whomever.
That would suck.
That would be awful. So I think for that reason alone, I'm going 30 minutes late.
Okay.
But I mean, if you're going to church, you're 30 minutes late to church.
That's what I was thinking about. I was thinking about if she shows up 30 minutes late to church, she's missed literally half of it.
Yeah, she shows up right in time to give the money. Actually, does your church do the offering at the beginning or the end?
We do offering about 15 or 20 minutes in.
Yeah, that's when we do too. Actually, we do like 10 minutes in.
Yeah, it might be closer to 10 minutes. It's well before halfway through.
Unless the singing, sometimes the singing gets going and we don't take it up to the very end of the day, but either way. 30 minutes late to movies. We got a movie date. That would suck.
Yeah, that would suck.
Ah, that's a tough question. I guess I'm just going to go. I'm going to go early for that reason, because I was thinking, like, yeah, going to the movies, we missed 30 minutes of the movies. I love the previews.
It would suck, man. I can't.
And you can't be 30 minutes late to work. You'll get fired. Okay, we're 30 minutes early. Sorry, friends. We're just going to have small talk constantly. I'm a good small talker, though. That's fine. All right, next question.
Brother G-Man, how does Seth read so many books? I can't sleep, G-Man. That's how. I don't sleep very much. I don't sleep well. That would be how.
Do you have any have you self-diagnosed yourself in terms of why you can't sleep well?
No, I've never been able to, like, really.
Can you not turn your mind off?
I don't know what it is, John. I have to lay there for an hour to 2 hours before I go to sleep. So, like, I don't even try to go to sleep for a long time, because there's nothing I hate more than laying there and not being able to sleep. Like, nothing drives me crazier than laying there with my eyes closed trying to sleep and not being able to go to sleep. So I read until I know when I shut my eyes I'm gonna fall asleep.
I don't think I'm as extreme as you, but I'm usually like an hour or two myself.
Yeah.
Like, I've started just plugging my phone in across the room. That's helped a little bit.
Yeah.
Just like to avoid the temptation of picking up my phone.
Mm-hmm.
That's helped a little bit.
And I have noticed before that, like, if I get in bed and, like, instead of reading, I stay on my laptop, then, like, it takes me a lot longer to go to sleep. Like, the screen, I don't know what it is about the screen as opposed to, like, reading the page in a book, but, like, it takes me a lot longer to go to sleep if I stay on my laptop than if I just get in bed and read. So, that's how, G-Man.
Well, that was sad, G-Man. I was hoping we'd get a motivated answer, not a Seth's a prisoner in his own mind answer. Most geniuses are, though, Seth. Most geniuses are.
Brother Ryan H., would you rather draft an all-pro edge rusher or an all-pro cornerback?
Is this about the Titans or the Vols? I guess all-pro, yeah. All-pro would be the Titans. Okay, so ask that one more time. A pass rusher or a corner?
Yes, both are all-pro.
Pass rusher.
Okay.
Right? I mean, pass rusher just affects so much more.
Yeah, and I feel like...
Although, if you're an all-pro corner, I mean, they can just throw the other side, though. To be an all-pro pass rusher, even if you're getting double-teamed, you're still creating havoc. I'll go pass rusher.
Yeah, it feels like the pass rusher is going to be able to, like, affect way more than the all-pro cornerback.
Although, I will say, I do feel like pass rushes... I know this is going to sound stupid after the Super Bowl we just watched, but it does feel like a pass rush is affecting the game less than ever before. Just because these damn quarterbacks throw the ball so quick. Like, it's hard to get to the quarterback when the guys are getting rid of it with three or four, you know, under 3 seconds.
Yeah, and for some reason to me, it seems like all-pro cornerbacks, just their shelf life.
You know what? I've changed my mind.
Okay.
I'm thinking of, like, you know, how good that Patriots defense was when they had Stephon Gilmore. Because if you're smart, you can. If you have an all-pro corner, if you're smart, what you'll do is you'll put your all-pro corner on their second best receiver. and then just double team their best receiver the entire game, and you can shut both people out. That makes it really, really tough. I've changed my answer. I'm going all-pro corner.
Okay.
Great question.
That was a good question.
You remember how cool it was just to have, like, Darrell Revis, right? Just Revis Island. That would have been so cool.
It would have been cool.
Just have a guy you know that is not getting... If you want him to lock up the best receiver, he will. Like Jalen Ramsey locking up all those best receivers. That'd be pretty cool. Yeah. Yeah. Give me a corner. Give me a corner.
Brother Troy?
Love Brother Troy.
Would like to know. He's a great man. What do you both like best about each other?
I like that you're very family-oriented, Seth.
Thank you.
I mean, in addition to your... brilliant mind and your kind heart. I like that you are you're very family oriented, and I like that.
Thank you, John. I do appreciate that. The thing I like best about you is that I know that even if no matter what happens, you are always there for me and will do whatever, you know, if I needed you to do something that was, you know, it was going to inconvenience you, you would do it. Even, you know, I always know that you love me.
That's good. Thank you, Seth. I appreciate that. Wow, great question by Troy, spreading some positivity.
Yes, very, very. Troy making us choose joy?
Didn't make us. I'm happy we chose joy. It was a very easy task. I'm tearing up a little bit over here.
Bouncing off of Troy's great question via Brother Ryan Hudson, a.k.a. Rhino, what is the kindest thing both of you have done for each other?
What kind of sound does a rhino make?
I don't know.
Because I was going to make a rhino noise like we do for... the Law Dog and Logie Bear, but I couldn't think of a rhino impression. They just like snort?
I guess.
I don't know. The nicest thing we've ever done for each other. The meanest was that time you told everybody my bathroom was disgusting. That was definitely the meanest thing you've ever done. When you went into my private bathroom against my, without my knowledge. That was the meanest thing. The nicest thing. You drove up for my dad's funeral. That was really nice. That was really nice. That was kind. He sent flowers. That was important to me. I appreciated that.
I don't know. I would have to think about this one, Ryan. I would have to think about this one.
Unlucky.
But that's not what it means. I mean, it's just a serious question. That's not what it means. I mean, John has always been there for me. John lets me co-host a podcast.
I took care of you that one night in the SEC Media Days. I brought you to SEC Media Days.
You brought me to SEC Media Days. And yes, you did. Take care of me.
I did take care of you. You were out of control. I did take care of you that night.
Shout out to Kyle Tasman.
And don't forget our big blue-haired waitress.
Brother G-Man asked again. I'm letting him have two because he's G-Man. Are you okay with the transfer portal? If not, how would you fix it?
I'm fine with it.
Yeah, I am okay with it too.
I mean, how to fix it? I don't know how to fix it. I mean, feel like we have gone too far, and it's just, you know, in the day and age of player empowerment, like we're never going to take steps away from like restricting players. We're never going to put that tube back in the paste, Brother Jim. So I'm fine with it.
Yeah, I don't even like it. Like, I mean, it looked like it was really chaotic at the beginning when you had like 1,200 people in the portal or whatever, but I mean, how many teams have really gotten just absolutely hammered by it, you know? I mean,
at Creighton, maybe? Like, I feel like Creighton basketball this year has had a lot of transfers after the...
I know Minnesota has like four guys on their team. You know, so some teams have. Like, I don't feel bad for the big teams. I feel worse for the smaller schools.
We got hammered by it in football, so I guess what I would say is, although... like, if you're going to, like, because Tennessee, like, you can still only take 25 guys a class, right? So, like, how are we going to make up the difference?
I do not know.
From everyone transferring, right? It's like they're going to let you sign 35 to make up for it.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I do not know. And I don't know if the NCAA knows.
And you can't fix it because you don't want coaches running people off, though. You know what I mean? You don't want them
saying,
you're processed. Get out of here.
Yeah, I mean, like, I feel bad for the small schools. Like, I mean, like, Furman, like, Noah Gurley's really good. And, you know, he left to go to the SEC champion. And nobody blames Noah Gurley for doing that. Kellen Grady, he left to go to Kentucky. He could go play basketball at Kentucky.
It's the same thing.
Of course he left Davidson.
The coaches are going to, if the coaches can do it, they got to let the players do it. That's why they're never going to change it. And, like, you should hope that your guys, it sucks if you're firm and it sucks. I get it. But, like, you want, I would imagine you want your player to go and have the best chance for us. Like, you understand he's doing it to play and try to get professional. Like, you know, reach.
And I would think it would also help you in recruiting because you could just say, look, you know, I mean, look at how successful, instead of sending guys to the pros, Furman and Davidson can say, well, I send guys to Kentucky and Alabama.
Well, that's really what's going to happen. I mean, like, the you know, all these college teams are simply going to try to, like, take transfers nonstop now. Like, the days of having young teams probably going to be over for a lot of these guys. Like, yeah, you're still, of course, going to have your freshmen that are, you know, five stars if you're Kentucky, if you're Tennessee. Feels good to say, by the way. But, like, you're going to try to round it out with, like, veterans now. They're, like, juniors and seniors that you know can play basketball.
That definitely seems like Eric Musselman, his MO is going to be, he's going to bring in a ton of transfers every year.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
more so than anybody else.
It worked with Baylor. Baylor just won a national championship. I think having four transfers be main contributors? At least three.
Davion Mitchell was from Auburn. They had a guy from, like, some small school in Georgia. So, yeah, I mean, they had several. And, like, I mean, those were, like, traditional transfers. Like, Davion Mitchell had to sit out a year to go from Auburn to Baylor.
And now he might be a lottery pick. I mean, I think he's showing up in the top 10 now.
So, I mean, it definitely seems like Arkansas Musselman every year is just going to, like, completely remake the roster at Arkansas, which is, I mean, it's different, you know, but you can do that now. It's nice for big schools because you should never be bad more than 1 year now.
Well, that's how it's always – that's how it's always felt in basketball. You know, we said you can change over.
But now it's
even
more so true.
Right. And, like, you know, let's face it, Tennessee's probably going to be in the same boat. I'd imagine Tennessee is going to be a mix of trying to get really, really good freshmen and taking transfers. Like, I'd imagine every big program is going to do that because either they're going to go to the NBA or they're not going to be very good. Like, you'll still have your Josiahs every now and then who are solid players but not great pro prospects. But this is going to be a constant thing for Tennessee. The roster turnover is going to be a thing. Which, I mean, you can argue that's not going to be great for college basketball just simply because you're not going to have, like, a lot of storylines and a lot of veterans on the team that's been there a couple years, but it is what it is.
I think some teams will be able to keep on. Like, I think, like, somebody like Villanova, like, they're going to have, like, four-year guys.
Sure.
You know, I think some programs will be able to, but, I mean, I think that for the programs that are, like, beneath the absolute upper echelon, then this is going to be the way to go. Brother Bob McRib, question for Seth. Where is Soda, a.k.a. Tennessoda? I do not know. He's disappeared off the Discord.
Soda showed back up after Jason Tatum went off the other night. Give Soda some credit. The Celtics have won four games in a row, and he popped back up. Still a game behind the Hawks, I would mention, but Soda's back.
Okay, so that's where Soda is. His
The Celtics are balling. He showed back up.
The Celtics are fifth in the East.
Again, I'd like to note one spot behind the Atlanta Hawks.
One spot behind the Atlanta Hawks.
Who are, by the way, 16-5 since firing Lloyd Pierce, Seth.
They're 5.5 games behind the Milwaukee Bucks, 8 games behind the Brooklyn Nets.
That is 4.5, my friend.
They are.
Seth can't do math. 8 minus 3.5 is how many?
I thought they were nine. Back of the... Maybe I'm looking at the wrong team.
You're talking about the Celtics or the Hawks?
Yeah, the Celtics.
Oh, sorry. I thought you were talking about the Hawks. I thought you said the Hawks were 3.5 games behind the Bucks.
The Celtics are 5.5 games back.
Well, we're not worried about that. The Hawks are chasing the Bucks. Huge game tonight, by the way, Seth. Huge game. Atlanta versus Milwaukee. Huge game. We're coming for the 3 seed. Maybe an Eastern Conference Finals.
Is Giannis still out?
He was questionable last I saw. You know, are you familiar with what happened with Giannis? Giannis should have been an Atlanta Hawk. Have I ever told you this story? Did you know this?
No, I did not know.
We got completely fucked by the Bucks. We got completely fucked by the Bucks. Danny Ferry, you may have heard of him, great GM. He had been eyeing Giannis for like a year, right? We were the only team that worked him out. We brought him into New York. We had a private workout for him. We were going to take him at number 16. Before the draft, after the draft process had already begun, though, like, and we were doing the scouting, like I said, for a year, we were obsessed with this guy. We fire Larry Drew. He gets hired by Milwaukee. And he says, hey, we really need to check out this guy we were scouting in Atlanta. They take him number 15, one spot ahead of us. One spot ahead of us.
That hurts.
It does hurt. It does hurt. Almost as much as it's going to hurt for them when we come get this 3 seed. Huge game tonight. 16-5 since firing Lloyd Pierce. Just want to point that out.
Shout out to brother Nate McMillan, especially if he's listening. He is my NBA coach of the year. He is my NBA coach of the year.
I think that's a great choice. I mean, like, you know, they're probably going to give it to Monty Williams. Although, let's face it, it's not Monty Williams. It's Chris Paul that's made this the Suns so great.
Oh, I thought Monty Williams coached the Pelicans.
No, Stan Van Gundy coaches the Pelicans. Monty Williams did coach the Pelicans.
What?
Monty Williams did coach the Pelicans, like, what, 4 years ago?
Stan Van Gundy still coaches in the NBA?
They did. Correct me if I'm wrong, Seth. Monty Williams was before Alvin Gentry, right? Didn't they fire Monty Williams to hire Alvin Gentry?
Maybe. I don't know.
You thought Monty Williams
was... I'm reeling from Stan Van Gundy as a coach in the NBA.
They brought... Stan Van Gundy was so good in Detroit, he got another chance coaching a generational talent like Zion.
Why did he... When did he get fired? I know why he got fired from Detroit. When did he get fired from Detroit?
I want to say 2 years ago. He took a year off and then got hired by the Pelicans.
Okay.
And has them battling for the 10 seed.
Yeesh.
They are 25-30, two games behind the Spurs. Three games behind the Grizzlies. Better watch out, Grizzlies.
Rough game for the Grizzlies last night.
That was tough to see.
That was quite the shot from Luka.
91% free throw shooter Grayson Allen misses two. Then you give up I mean, it was a talented shot. It was like a little runner, like a little flick up. I mean, it was a great shot by Luka. That was a tough way to lose for Memphis, who is now, like I said, only three games ahead of the Pelicans.
Yeah, I'm sure like all 15 Grizzly fans couldn't sleep last night.
There's more of them than you think. For some reason, they hate me, so now I've had to have like a real grudge against the Grizzlies. It's turned into a thing.
Brother Austin, a.k.a. Power T Tape, a.k.a. the best physical therapist in the Discord.
Again, I think I told you he doesn't do that anymore, I don't think.
Well, he still has his damn degree. I mean, just because you don't practice medicine don't mean you're not a doctor.
All right, fair enough.
How many Cord members would it take to successfully take on Aaron Donald in a bar fight, and which members would be included?
I think we get it done with two. BJ and Tennesota.
BJ and Tennesota.
Actually, let's... All ball. Actually, BJ... you know what? I'll go BJ and BMV. BMV will send him in. He'll take care of it. One good swift headbutt to Aaron Donald will have him dazed. It'll be like Hobbs and Shaw taking on Idris Elba, Superman.
Do we know why Aaron Donald beat this dude up?
It was 4 o'clock in the morning. Maybe there was alcohol involved. I don't know.
I mean, he roughed that old boy up.
Well, you know, it looked about like you would expect. It actually looked better than I expected. If you tell me somebody got in a fight with Aaron Donald, I would expect both eyes to look like that.
Yeah, I would not expect him to be dead. I mean, does it? If you get beaten that badly by the best NFL player on defense, does it ever cross your mind to just like not go public with it?
No, because you're probably going to make a lot of money.
Okay.
The humiliation, you'll probably get some good money out of it.
I guess the millions of dollars makes up for the humiliation.
Now, I don't know if I want to go public with the picture. There's no point in going public with that, really.
Yeah.
You just save that for the courtroom, I guess.
Yeah.
But no, BJ and BMV, they can take them. They can take down Donald. I got full confidence in them.
Okay.
Have you seen BJ's measurables and meatheads, bro?
Oh, BJ's a big old boy.
Have you seen his measurables and meatheads?
BJ's a big old boy. And BMV, I mean, he has like, you know, I'll be politically correct and call it stupid person strength. You know, I mean, like BMV, you could hit him across the head with a tire iron and he would not be fazed. He would just keep coming at you. Like he would not even like skip a step.
2 months ago,
coming.
I imagine the numbers are better. BJ is out here squatting 525, deadlifting 505, benching 395. I mean, he's strong. He might be as strong as Aaron Donald. Hell, who knows?
He's a big old boy.
And like I said, you know it. BMV's crazy.
Yeah, he's crazy.
Can I pick like when the fight is? Let's get it like right after a Colts loss or when Man City, his favorite club, gets eliminated. Then let's unleash BMV.
Oh, he takes those Colt losses hard. Brother
Tuck. There's going to be a lot of them this year with Carson Wentz. I'll tell you that much.
Brother Tuck, would you rather have HIV or be a quadriplegic?
HIV.
HIV. I mean, HIV is not a death sentence anymore. We all see the awful, annoying commercials about PrEP on our television all the time. So, yeah, give me HIV.
He's got the AIDS.
Brother C. Kilby, a.k.a. Brother Chris, you can lock in one of the following for next season. Which one do you choose? Outright regular season league title in hoops, SEC tournament title, or Sweet 16?
This might go against things I've said in the past, but I'm thinking SEC tournament title.
Okay.
I know in the past I've talked about the regular season being really important, but I just want to...
No, I mean,
it's
been like 40 years.
That's what I'm saying. I just want to win one of those damn things.
And with the talent that we have, if we run through that tournament and win on Sunday, then going into the NCAA tournament, you know, we're probably playing just about as well as anybody in the country.
I'll take my chances there, yeah. All right, two more. You got any more? Or is that it?
Brother Tanner, for me, MFK, Hank, AJ, and Logie. I would marry AJ. He's a good cook. He really can't cook. I would F Logie and I would kill Hank. But that being said, happy birthday to Brother Hank. He's gay, but we still love him. Happy birthday, Brother Hank.
All right, last question. You got anything else?
No, that's all. A big baseball series this weekend. Yeah. Make sure you watch it. We will be on SEC Network one time and ESPNU the other.
Okay.
A top five matchup going for the absolute top number one spot in the SEC East.
Is the goal still 3-3, Seth?
Yes, the goal is still 3-3 for me.
So just win one game against Vanderbilt and Seth Hughes is happy.
That will change for me.
If we win Friday.
If we win Friday night.
Okay.
That will change for me if we win Friday night.
I know Vandy just got beat by Georgia, so I feel like they were a little bit more beatable. But okay, I just wanted to check to see if you still felt that way.
Yep. Because I still have major questions about our bullpen.
Okay.
That being said, our two best players are Max Ferguson and Connor Pavlone, and they are now hitting the ball. We have gone this entire season without them hitting the ball. They are now scorching the ball. So, and Jordan Beck's getting hot too. If you were to win this series, then I mean, you can pretty much guarantee Tennessee will be a top 8 seed. And we'll be able to host a super regional. So, massive, massive game. We are on ESPNU tomorrow night and SEC Network Saturday. So, watch the games. It is the best program we have on campus. The games have been really, really fun. Even the game Sunday against Florida. It was maddening that we lost that game. That was still a really fun game to watch.
Yeah, we let them off the hook.
We let them off the hook big time. Hundley has been lights out of the bullpen for the entire SEC schedule. Was SEC Pitcher of the Week at the end of March. Has been unhittable in SEC play. Gave up the home run to the pinch hitter. It happens. I still throw him out there and absolutely have no reservations about it whatsoever. And Kirby Cannell is just, he's amazing out of the bullpen. And it's just an extremely ugly person. But, you know, he pulls off the long hair and mustache.
That seemed unfair just to climb really ugly.
I mean, he's just not very handsome.
Or at least unnecessary. Like, maybe not unfair, but at least unnecessary. What if he listens to the pod?
The editor can beat that out. He's a rugged looking young man, but he has some balls. I mean, that fastball tops out at about 87 and he will challenge you with it and does not care.
Well, when you've been looking at 93, 94 for most of the game, 87's that's a good change up there.
Yeah. Tennessee needs one more arm out of the bullpen. They really need one more arm out of the bullpen. They need it to be a hard-throwing right-hander, and we'll see if they can get it from Mark McLaughlin.
All right, so let's go win at least one from Vandy. I'm hoping we can win the series, but at least
I am hoping we can. I'm cautiously optimistic about winning the series now. Like, I'm willing to throw the game Saturday against Jack Leiter, and just, you know, focus on Friday and Sunday.
All right, Seth, I love you. Good talking to you as always. Hey, shout out to Bobby Mays.
Shout out to brother Bobby Mays. He, you know, he loves Tennessee. That much is for sure.
Be Mays, be amazed. This here's not a game. Shout out to Bobby. We love Bobby. Thanks for the help, Bobby. Maybe taking what's his face from Fulton was worth it. Now, what was his name again? Not from Fulton, but Bearden, what's his name? Drew Pember. I've already forgotten about him. Maybe taking Pember was worth it. Goodbye, Seth.
Hey, I put on for Tennessee. I'm here. The solution has arrived. I put on for Tennessee. I put on Tennessee. I put on for Tennessee. Put it on for Tennessee. I put on. I put on.
You know what we about, and I'm about to lounge like them.
chilling on the couch. I am the resolution, am the solution. And all of you haters is just pollution. Leave me alone, leave me alone. We coming for that championship. Home. Tennessee, Tennessee, Tennessee.